All right, welcome back to Find Your Amazingness podcast. I am your host, Vera, and today I have an amazing guest, Emma, and we will be talking all about breath work, menstrual cycle, yoga, and Emma is a cyclical yoga and breath work instructor. Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Hi, Vera. Thank you for having me. I'm so pumped up for this
Me
episode.
too. I mean, yeah, we're going to talk about so many juicy things,
Yeah,
life-changing
spilling
things,
some tea.
really. Yes. So I would love to start by you sharing a little bit about yourself and what you do and yeah, your background a little bit.
Okay, thank you for asking. I feel like this is always such a fun question to answer to. I try my best to be short. Hi Vera, hi everyone. My name's Emma, and I am a cyclical yoga and breathwork instructor. Well, when I introduce myself, I always like to start with my passions because I feel like that's what best describes us in the end. So, I love spending time in nature. I actually grew up in the a rural area here in Italy, where I still live. And so nature has always been like something that helps me connect with myself, with my intuition, which is something we're also going to talk about later. You can probably always find me like in my free time, either in the woods or at the seaside or at a lake. So yeah, that kind of defines me. I'm also a very curious person and I love learning about the most different topics. That's also what has drawn me to yoga, breath work, meditation, and cycle syncing and learning more about our period and our menstrual cycle in general. I also work as a social media marketing specialist, actually. And I have to say, I'm really passionate about languages and I'm really passionate about communication and marketing and digital media. On the other hand, my job is, I mean, every job is really challenging sometimes, but I feel like working in such a dynamic environment can be, at least for me, it was really, really challenging. And at one point, I just realized I was facing so much stress. And I was lucky enough to have some great teachers and friends who kind of directed me towards breath work and meditation and movement to not get rid of the stress, but yeah, face it. So that's where I am right now. That's kind of a little bit of my background. I hope this answers your question, Vera.
Yes. And I absolutely love the content that you create on Instagram. So, I mean, you will tell people later where to find you, but I already want to say that, guys, go follow her on Instagram. You'll find out her Instagram later in the episode. But yeah, I want to dive deeper into what you just mentioned about stress and about these tools. And I think a lot of us just have accepted the fact that, oh, my life is stressful and just kind of like not even look for solutions because I feel like so many of us, like it's normalized that like life is stressful and we should just accept it as it is. But there are so many cool tools to help you to live a less stressful, more fulfilling, zen life. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about these tools that you have used and how they have helped you.
Yeah, I feel you 100%. Like, I really do think that we kind of romanticize a stressful lifestyle sometimes. I remember growing up, I loved studying and I knew I would go to university and then I kind of saw myself getting this office job, and something that I thought would be like an important job. All jobs are important, but you know how it goes. And I kind of normalized stress myself until I reached that peak point, like until I couldn't do it anymore. I was studying full time at university. I was also working part time because I felt all this pressure to do everything simultaneously and to just forget about the stress until it's, yeah, it got a little bit too much. And so I've been starting discovering little tips and methods to cope with the stress. So why don't I share like my favorite three methods to cope with stress. I mean, there are so many, but I would say movement, breath, and I'll go with journaling, to be honest, which is, I mean, I kind of love and hate journaling. It really depends on the day. And yeah, something that is really important to me is, okay, I've just shared with you three tools that you can maybe implement in your life, you can try to use, but at the end of the day, there is no like ultimate perfect tool to deal with stress. So yeah, I feel like we should always move with curiosity and out of compassion for ourselves. So if we try something and we don't like it, it's cool. It's perfect. I actually think it's great because it means we tried. We made the first step towards facing our, well, issues or difficulties in life, stress in this case. So yeah, that's something that is really, really close to my heart, being compassionate and kind towards ourselves first.
Definitely. And can you give some examples of like what does, you mentioned movement. What specifically, what type of movement is the best like help with stress for you?
Okay. So again, it really, really depends from person to person. For me, I would say like, it depends on the day. When I'm really, really stressed out, I just go for a run. That's kind of like what helps me really get loose of the stagnant energy and all the thoughts that maybe I carried within me and didn't express, and that kind of built up until that tip point. But again, I feel like kind of trying to implement some movement on a daily basis really, really helps me not reach that extreme point where I need to just go for a super, I mean, intense run, right? So some other types of movement that I love is yoga. I'm a yoga teacher, so I mean, I guess that's understandable. I also tried Qigong for the first time a couple of weeks ago and loved it. I feel like slower movement, whether it's yoga, Qigong, even simple stretching, it's so underrated, but it's very soothing to the nervous system. It kind of helps you activate the parasympathetic response, which is, you know, the rest and digest response, which helps us soothe the nervous system and kind of downregulate ourselves and communicate to our body that we're safe. So yeah, slow movement is also great.
Yes, I love that. And I definitely personally have kind of ignored the slow movement and just, yeah, I think a lot of us feel like we need to be super active in order to, yeah, like that movement should always be something super fast and super intense. But I think we, especially because we live in such a hectic world, I think it's so important to slow down sometimes and yeah, really calm our bodies down. I would love to talk more about breath and breath work, and that's how we have connected because we are doing the same program, and it has been truly life-changing for me to discover all these different tools, and I think it's definitely the type of information that everyone should have, of like the knowledge of understanding the impact that our breath has in our life, really every aspect of our life. So do you have any like specific favorite breathwork techniques, but also I would love to hear about how breathwork has impacted your life, and yeah, how do you feel about it all, and what has it changed for you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Well, as you know, I'm a huge fan of breathwork. And it makes sense since I teach breathwork as well. But I would say, do I really have like a favorite breathwork technique? I'm not sure. I would say how breathwork helped me in my life. Well, it kind of, I was always familiar with breathwork in some form, because as we know, it kind of originated from pranayama, which is an ancient practice, breathwork practice that is part of yoga. So I've been practicing yoga for a long period in my life, and pranayama comes with that as well. And it's something that I always really loved. Like, it always calmed me down, even when I didn't really know like the science behind it and how it affects your body. Physically, not only your mind and your soul even. So that's how I first got in contact with breathwork. I would say it helped me a lot face my stress, and it helped me kind of realize what my stress response looks like. So I think that's a super important part of developing self-awareness, because I mean, if we just sit down for a second, we can do that right now if you're listening to the podcast also, and maybe we close our eyes and we think about, do I feel stressed in my life, like at all? It could be related to my family, my work, something that happened while I was driving back home today. It really doesn't have to be like a specific topic, but do I feel any sort of stress in my life? And I did this during one of the in-person workshops that I held recently about breathwork. And it was so interesting to see. I asked people, could you raise your hand if you've experienced stress in your life? And every single person raised their hands. So we're mostly aware, or we become aware of being stressed pretty easily. There's not like a big barrier, I feel like, but we sometimes don't know what to do with that. And we sometimes forget that we can take a pause between ourselves feeling the stress and ourselves reacting to the stress. And that's when breathwork came in my life. It really, really taught me to, okay, become aware of your stress, become aware maybe of the trigger. So what causes the stress, and then take a pause. I love when we say like, okay, take a deep breath, or count up to five and take a breath, because it really teaches us to just take that very brief. It doesn't have to be like a super long pause, but that very brief pause really is empowering us to choose how we want to respond. That's something that we've been learning about in our certification course. And it really, really stayed with me. Like, it's super close to my heart. And I feel like that's how breath work really had the most powerful impact in my life. Maybe even more powerful than the movement practice itself.
Wow. Yeah, it's life-changing, truly. And I want to mention here that we will, at the end of the episode, we will be doing a little practice. Emma will go guide us through a practice, so definitely stay tuned to that. It's gonna be the best moment of your day today, of just taking a moment to be with yourself and connect to your intuition. But I would like to go to a little bit of a different direction now and talk about our menstrual cycle, and how, first of all, about maybe a little bit about the relationship that we have with our menstrual cycle and how we should maybe switch that up a little bit.
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I feel like sometimes we don't even have a relationship with our menstrual cycle. Like for me, I remember when I got my first period and my mom and grandma were like super excited for me and we were celebrating together, which was, now that I think of it, like super cool. Like the, I don't know, it gives me like sisterhood and almost like divine feminine vibes, which is, oh, it's just so, so wonderful. But yeah, so it was personally like very, very lucky that my family and the women in my family really supported me. But at the time, to be honest, I didn't really want to have anything to do with that. I was in middle school and it just, I mean, I didn't really care. I didn't really see my period or menstrual cycle as something beautiful, something to be celebrated. And that stayed with me until, I mean, probably like 1 year ago. I mean, I got my period like once a month-ish and that was it. Like for me, that was my relationship with my cycle. I have to say it was also on hormonal birth control for 5 years. And I mean, that really didn't change my relationship with my menstrual cycle. But then, when I was still on birth control and I started learning all about, well, not all about, but a little bit more about, your menstrual cycle, the different phases of the cycle, the different qualities of your period and how that can teach you about your overall health, I realized that I didn't really have a relationship with my cycle. And that could be like so insightful if I just chose to make some research, study some books, maybe even attend a specific course, which I haven't done yet, but that's definitely on the list of things I want to do. So yeah, I feel like we should just... It's easier said than done, but we should just talk more about our cycles with our friends, with our family, and kind of fight the stigma that there is around it. Because at the end of the day, we often see it as a burden because we often try to live our lives as, you know, essentially as men. And I feel like that's not necessarily it for people with a period all the time. So we have essentially like four phases of the menstrual cycle. There is the menstrual phase, which is when you have your bleeding. There is the follicular phase, which is also called like inner spring, which I think is so beautiful because it's kind of your body waking up again and getting more energy after the bleeding phase. We have ovulation, which is the shortest phase. It actually lasts around 24, 48 hours-ish, depending from person to person, and depending if you can spot ovulation, like the specific day. And then we have the luteal phase, which is kind of our body preparing for menstruation. And so, I mean, the menstrual cycle and all these phases are characterized by different hormone fluctuations. And with hormone fluctuations, as we know, I mean, hormones affect our energy level. So whilst I might have like a lot of energy, expansive energy even, I might feel super into going for a run and connecting with other people during my follicular and ovulatory phases, I might want to take things a little bit slower and maybe be more introspective during my bleeding or the days before the bleeding, the PMS days. And that's fine. And that's great. So yeah, I feel like I've taken like a little bit of a tangent, but there's just so much we can say about the menstrual cycle. And I find it so fascinating. So I'm really grateful that I got the chance to talk a little bit more about it today with you.
I definitely wanted to bring it up because it has been so like eye-opening for me recently to really learn about these things. And the biggest thing about it has been that I am much more understanding of myself, like, and accepting of the, if I'm some days not feeling great, I understand why, and I don't feel guilty or bad about it, because I'm like, this is my body, my hormones, they need rest right now. I'm not supposed to feel social or active. And I think that is the biggest thing of like having that understanding and then not having expectations of yourself in situations where your body is not in that state. So even planning your life according to your cycle has been, I've been trying to do that. It's not, I think I definitely could become a lot better at it, but I've been trying to think of like, okay, do I want to have that type of activities in my life on that week? Because I know that my hormones will be like that. Yeah. So I think when we can get to the point of like kind of optimizing our lives based on our cycle and our hormones, it gives this like, it makes me feel powerful, and it makes me feel like I'm like in control of my life, and really also just valuing, you know, my body and understanding that this is how it's supposed to work. Like, there's nothing wrong with these feelings that I go through. And I love, I have this app called Flow, and I love the notifications that I get from that app, because it's like, today you might feel a little bit like this and you might experience this. And I'm just like, oh, like it gives such validation for your feelings, you know, when you're like, oh, I was just having a headache, and then I get a notification, today you might like have a headache or something like that. I'm like, okay, it's normal. It's kind of like sort of supposed to be happening, and it just gives that validation. So definitely has been life-changing for me.
I love that. I've been experiencing the same, and I think, and yeah, I think as we were saying, like, we tend to as a society normalize the go 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 mode, like no rest, almost zero introspection, and knowing your cycle, as you were saying, is just so validating and empowering. And I want to say something about this. I mean, yeah, we're talking about like female biology, but for me, living in tune with your cycle can also apply to anyone identifying as a woman, non-binary people who maybe feel like they have a closer connection with the moon cycle or a more yin type of energy. I always try to refrain from calling it like feminine and masculine energy, because I feel like these two opposites, I mean, I feel like we've been taught about them being like two opposites or two sides of the same coin. But to me, it kind of more exists on a scale almost, or not a scale. Yeah, it's not something, it's more fluid. It's not something like this distinct. So living in tune with your cycle or with your menstrual cycle, if you have a menstrual cycle, that's great. But this is, I really want this to be like welcoming and inclusive of everyone who feels like this is something for them. This is super important. And another thing I'd love to bring into the conversation is, as we were talking about movement practices before, the, let's say, optimal, or maybe like the type of movement that most serves you changes if you have a menstrual cycle according to the phase of the cycle you're in. So as we were saying, during the follicular phase, which is the one right after your period, and the ovulatory phase, you might have higher energy. And so that might be the great time to go for a run if you're into it, or go swimming, do more cardio based movement. Whilst, for example, in the later phases of the cycle, so the luteal phase or even the menstrual phase, it's still great to move your body. That's always like, it helps us face our stress levels. It helps us be lead a balanced lifestyle. But maybe you want to go for a little bit more of a low impact movement practice. For example, Pilates is great. Yoga is also great. I'm a little bit biased probably, but yeah, I feel like maybe yin yoga, restorative yoga are just perfect. And I would also add meditation and breath work that are kind of not really workouts, but yeah, kind of workouts for your mind and your lungs, your diaphragm, and your body in a different way. I still like to consider it a movement practice in some way.
Definitely. I love that you said that it's a workout for your, basically for your mind and for your for your brain and do you have any, or do you personally use different like breath work techniques, like depending on like different phases of your cycle, or is that something that you have been doing, or do you have any tips? Just personally asking, I would love to hear if you have any tips.
Well, I feel like I do, and I don't. Like, I really go with how I'm feeling, in a precise, you know, every day, really. So I love to start my breath work practice by just sitting down or lying down, whatever, closing my eyes and just tuning into myself and see how I'm feeling, like in my body, physically, and in my mind, mentally, emotionally. So that's the first thing. And then what I would say is I definitely avoid some breath work practices, some breath work techniques during my menstrual phase, especially. And that's, I'm talking about Bhastrika and Kapalabhati, which are a little bit more of the intense breath work techniques. Kapalabhati specifically has you pumping your belly button in. And so, it's just very activating on an energetical perspective, but also on a physical perspective. It activates the muscles of your belly and your abdomen. So, I mean, I wouldn't really do that on my period. You can definitely try if you want to experiment with your body, but yeah, it's most likely not going to feel great. So I try to avoid that. And other than that, I would say I have a personal preference for some practices, which I practice like every phase of the cycle. For example, the more calming practices. I love Surya Bhati, which is inhaling through the left nostril, exhaling through the right, and it really activates your parasympathetic response. And that's also like the reason why I really like calming practices, is because, as we were saying, I feel like we are all so stressed and we're kind of all living, well, I mean, not all of us, thankfully, but many of us, me, myself included, are really living on a high alert response. So I feel like I always need to start with some calming breaths and calming techniques, like Surya Bhati, or even just breathing deeply in and out through the nose. And then maybe if I feel like something more activating, I might go for it. But we don't always need to go like go, go, go mode, even with breath work. I feel like slow, deep breaths are hugely underrated sometimes. And that might be all that we need. And that's completely fine.
Absolutely. And I feel like there's no reason to try to, especially when you're getting into breath work, to like not overcomplicate it with some super fancy techniques. Like, just taking the time to be with your breath, I think, is already like so powerful and so life-changing. So yeah, and then slowly building up, learning new techniques and seeing how you feel in certain moment and what feels right. That has personally, at least for me, been the the case of like trying to just listen to myself of like, what do I need right now? What type of energy do I want to be in? And then look at the tools that I know and be like, okay, that one would help me to get to that state. So yeah. I would love for us to now actually practice, do a little breath work and whatever things you have in mind for connecting to our intuition. And so I'm gonna let you explain what you have in mind for us, and can't wait to do a little practice right now.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I have like a little sequence for tuning into your intuition through your breath. That's going to last around 10 minutes. And we're actually starting with some mindfulness. The reason is, as we were saying, but I feel like it's not said enough. So let's say it again. I really feel like we don't always need to go all in into things. So it's like, I mean, yes, there are some super cool breathwork techniques and meditation techniques as well that really pump you up, and that might be like super cool to explore. But I feel like to truly tune into your intuition, you need to experience some stillness and some calmness even in your life. I really love the idea or the visual of, it's kind of like, okay, so let's say we want to tune into our intuition, to tune into just our inner self. And it's kind of like going outdoors for a walk. We want to hear the bird singing, but if we have headphones on that are pumping us up, we can't really hear them, right? So very activating techniques to me are like music. So sometimes it's great. It's great if you want to go for a run, but if you truly want to listen to your intuition, you need to kind of leave them aside first and then maybe put them on. So what we're going to do during today's breathwork practice is using some of those introspective and calming techniques to really just balance our energy and tune into our intuition and see what's there, and with no expectations. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to say too much. Let's see.
I'm excited. Okay.
Oh, me too. So I'm inviting you, if you feel comfortable doing that, if you feel safe, to close your eyes. Maybe sit down on the floor or on a chair, or you can even lie down on your back. If you prefer to keep your eyes open, you can do that, or maybe just soften your gaze. So let's take just a couple of minutes to see what feels best, see what feels the most safe in our bodies and in our minds right now. You can make some movements if you feel the need to get more comfortable, maybe rounding the shoulders, opening the shoulders. Maybe rolling the neck. And I invite you to bring your awareness to your surroundings, extending your awareness to the furthest place that you can perceive, that you can feel, and that you can hear. And bring your awareness to the sounds that you can hear. So it might be a car driving down the street, could be the sound of nature, the wind moving the trees, take a moment to hear those sounds without necessarily attaching onto them. We notice the sound and we practice letting go of it. Now, I invite you to slowly bring your awareness in a little bit closer to your body. Maybe you hear some sounds in the room or the space you're in. Might be people. It might be a pet. Children, the wooden floor. Again, noticing the sounds and letting them go gently. Now, very gently and very slowly, I invite you to bring your awareness even closer to your body, observing and hearing the sounds your body is making right now. And landing to the sound of your breath. I invite you to practice listening to your breath, observing your breath without making any changes to it. Gently taking the time to notice where it is located in the body. Notice if the inhale is maybe rising your belly or your chest or someplace in between. And know that none of these options is wrong. Whatever you notice is fine. Now, I invite you to gently see if you can make your breath a little bit longer. Inhaling through the nose. Exhaling through the nose. Find your own rhythm, your own pace. Gently warming up the lungs, warming up your body via your breath. With the next inhale, we will start inhaling for 4, exhaling for 4 seconds. Let's take a cleansing breath first, in and out through the nose. And we start inhale 3, 2, 1, exhale 3, 2, 1. Inhale 3, 2, 1, exhale 3, 2, One. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Keep breathing deeply in and out through the nose. Adjusting the rhythm of your breath to what feels best in your body. Trusting that your intuition will guide you. Opening up to your intuition, to your inner self. With the next exhale, I invite you to release this breathwork technique, coming back to a natural breath, letting go of the counting. We'll prepare for the second technique, keeping our eyes closed if we want to. We can extend the thumb and index finger of the right hand, closing the remaining fingers in towards the palm. Let's take a full inhale in through the nose, exhale through the nose. And then with the right thumb, close the right nostril. Inhale through the left for 3, 2, one, close left, exhale right, 3, 2, 1. Inhale left, 3, 2, 1. Exhale right, 3, 2, 1. Inhale left, 3, 2, 1. Exhale right, 3, 2, 1. Keep inhaling through the left, exhaling through the right nostril. And if you want, if you feel like it, you can visualize yourself inhaling wisdom through the left nostril and exhaling through the right to release. We inhale wisdom and we also release wisdom in a continuous exchange with the universe, with our surroundings, with the environment we're part of. We're inhaling through the left, exhaling through the right. We're letting our guidance, we're our inner guidance, excuse me, guide us. We trust that our intuition will lead us to what feels best for our body, for our mind, for our essence, our spirit. And if that means you want to stop the practice and come back to natural breath, that also is completely fine. There are no rules besides what you choose for yourself. With the next exhale through the right nostril, I invite you to gently let go of this technique. Coming back again to a natural breath. And taking a moment to observe how you feel in this precise moment in time. How you feel in your body, if there are any physical sensations, how you feel in your mind, if there are any emotions, any feelings, and if you can't feel anything specifically, that's also great. I invite you to place one hand to the heart center and one on top of that. Take a deep inhale through the nose, inhaling gratitude for taking the time to breathe and meditate and take care of yourself today, and exhaling through the nose or mouth to let go. To share gratitude and kindness with the universe. When you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
Thank you. I'm really, really glad to hear that.
I definitely needed that, and that definitely brought up some stuff that I'm like, okay, after we stop recording, I gotta take a moment and just like analyze a little bit, write things down, and yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
I feel so zen now.
Like, yeah, me too. Every time I've just practiced breath work, or I've just led a breath work practice, I feel like I forget words. I only have like sensations, emotions, smiles.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful. But I also want to say that, I mean, you don't necessarily have to feel exactly like this. So every one of us has a different experience. Sometimes it might even happen that we feel like we even have more thoughts than before. But what I find fascinating to that, so sometimes after a class, people come to me and say, well, you know what, it wasn't exactly relaxing because I had so many thoughts and I still have, and I'm not sure, I mean, shouldn't I feel more relaxed after a breath work or meditation practice? And I say, I think that's actually great, because what we really delve deeper into is becoming more aware of the thoughts. The thoughts were probably already there in the back of your mind. Maybe you didn't even realize that, but most likely they were there, and we kind of need to at least be aware of those thoughts, if not like analyze them if we want to, if we feel called to, before we then can let them go. So yeah, you can feel, hopefully you feel more relaxed, but if you don't, that's also great. And it's absolutely perfect, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and also personally, I feel like, or what that did to me now, it just brought up some emotions that I feel like I have been kind of like suppressing, you know? So even for me, it's not necessarily like, oh my God, I got an idea or clarity on some decision. It's just like, okay, I have been ignoring these emotions and I just need to take the space to really actually feel those emotions. And so I think these practices are so beautiful because they just help us to connect to ourselves and really release things especially, you know, what we just talked about earlier of stress, and we live in this hectic world where we don't take the time and stop and connect to ourselves. And then eventually those things will come out, but they might not come out the way that would like is the best for us. So I think it's so important to have this type of practice where we connect to ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I would 100% agree.
I would, there are two things I would still love to ask you. So first, I always want to give an opportunity to my guests to kind of like manifest their dreams to come true, because I fully believe that when we share our dreams and talk about them, we are taking steps towards making them happen. So I would love to hear your vision for your future. Share whatever you feel comfortable with, but I would just love to hear, what are you dreaming about? Where are you going right now?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Whoa, that's huge. I would say my vision for my future is definitely keeping teaching breathwork, cyclical yoga, meditation. Those are like the main practices that I love focusing on. And my dream is creating offers that help women and empower women to live a more balanced life, and really the life they choose, the life that feels more in tune with their body, with their soul, with their intuition. And when I say women, again, I'm referring to anyone who identifies as a woman, and non-binary people as well. I truly, truly see myself creating like this very inclusive and safe environment and space and container where people feel safe to express themselves and feel safe enough to delve deeper into their inner selves. And well, I have some very cool things coming up. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'd love that. You can find me at Emma Muskan. Very simple, just my name. It's okay. So it's spelled Emma, M-O-S-C-A-N. That's an Italian surname, so I guess the spelling might have been a little bit confusing. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you already answered my second question, which would have been that.
Okay.
Where do you want people to go and learn more about you? But perfect. You shared your Instagram. And as I said earlier, go follow Emma. She creates amazing content. And I love the fact that you've been mostly creating content in Italian, but you've been creating like more English content as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I always like, I feel like sometimes it's a little bit easier to just stick to one path or one language. But to be honest, I really love, as I was saying earlier, I love foreign languages. I've studied foreign languages. I can also speak like German, Spanish. I'm not going to create content in German or Spanish, honestly, but I mean, I feel like that's who I am. I love mixing up languages. Sometimes I dream in English, sometimes I dream in Italian. Sometimes I want to say things in Italian or English. So
yeah,
that kind of represents me a little bit more. You can find content in Italian if you're Italian, and in English if you're an English speaking person. So yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Emma, for
doing
this and sharing your wisdom and guiding us through that practice. This was so beautiful, and I am sure that people got so much value out of this. And this was such a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you again for having me. I really, really loved talking to you and practicing together. It was just so special.
Thank you.